So good morning again. Welcome to our Coming of Age ceremony. If you are new to Coming of Age, you may be amazed at what you will see and hear today. You may wonder that we ask our youth to engage in such a rigorous transformational process, and it is intentionally an ordeal, testing the courage and commitment of each participant. Each young person has to give service to our congregation and community. They have to learn about how our congregation runs and is governed. They have to explore their religious heritage, and they have to think about how all they learned and experienced has brought them to this place and time. They have even had to think about their own death, and then they have to decide what they believe. Why do you youth do this? Because this is an age when our youth are forming their own identity and are full of exploratory energy. We want them to think about their values and articulate them. That way, as they begin to make decisions in their own lives, they have their values and beliefs clearly before them. We ask them to share those beliefs with you, because that is a really important aspect of being a Unitarian Universalist congregation. We are here to share our experience of the holy. We don't believe that any one person has the whole picture. We come together to share our views so that we may be touched by someone else's perspective. We may even be changed by what they have to say. By listening to these youth, we open ourselves to the possibility in another person's offering. Their gifts are generous. As such, I ask that you hold your applause until the end of the worship service. And if someone comes in after you who may not have heard this request.
Excuse me, Judy, are you actually asking people not to applaud after each of the credo statements has been delivered?
Not only that, but even after the music.
Oh my goodness. Self-discipline is in order then for the
guy. It is, because we have so much enthusiasm and energy and love for these children and youth that we would really want to.
It will really be something then when that applause is let go in the room, once having saved it up till that appropriate moment.
That's right, at the very end. All right. So before we do impose this period of this no clapping period, I would like to recognize the people who made this transformational experience possible. Our lead teacher was Nancy Silverman. I don't know if she's in the room, but if you are, please rise. She has done a superb job along with Matt, her husband, Terry Cummings, Shannon Gattens, and Amy Wolofson. And I'm wondering, as we think about this coming of age, those of you who may have been teachers of these young people in the 8 years prior, and if any of you would like to contribute to the coming year's coming of age, we have sign-up sheets for teachers in coffee hour. So I would also like to acknowledge the people who served as spiritual guides for our youth, and please, all the mentors would please rise as well. You have guided, cajoled, and deeply explored so many things on an individual basis with our youth and witnessed their transformation firsthand. We thank you for that. And now would the parents please rise? Proud indeed. You have gone through a process of letting go and entrusting your sons and daughters into the hands of the wider community. You can see this happening more and more. You're beginning a new phase of parenting, a new phase in your family relationships and dynamics. We honor you and thank you for the gift of these young people. And now our ceremony and our worship begins, and our no clapping period is in effect.
As we enter this moment of silence, let it be full rather than empty. Let it create threads of connection rather than walls of separation between us. And let our hearts let down their sword and shield, and feel the grandness of the universe and the grandness of the moment. Let us hold this moment in silence. So be it, and amen.
Our readings this morning are from George Bernard Shaw and Yoda, Grand Master of the Jedi Order. The Midrash is by me. And the rest of the child's education must consist of anything else it can pick up, for beyond this, society cannot go with any certainty, and indeed, can only go this far rather apologetically and provisionally, as doing the best it can on very uncertain ground. George Bernard Shaw. We have been given a very unique opportunity to learn from our little society here. And we have been taught quite a bit about other religions and different beliefs while not having those beliefs forced upon us. This cannot have been easy for our teachers, to leave us open-minded but still make us understand different points of view. Religion is a sensitive topic and one that most people avoid if at all possible. To teach is difficult, and to teach about a topic that has as many answers and possibilities as there are people on the planet? Near impossible. And for the second quote, ready so early are you? What know you of ready? Master Yoda. I don't think that anyone is ever ready for an important event in their life. You're bound to learn something at some point that will change your idea of ready. But if I may use another appropriate quote from our master, do or do not, there is no try. What use is trying if you're going to believe that you fail? What I believe Master Yoda is trying to say in this quote is that you may never be ready if you don't believe in yourself and your own power to succeed.
Good morning. I'm Jody Springer-Seidenberg. And when I first met Arianne Schoenweisner, I thought she was a lovely, quiet person. But over the years, I've learned that her still waters run deep. Arianne is clever, thoughtful, and very inquisitive. She has a strong connection to Unitarian Universalism. She's been coming here her whole life. Her parents, Steve and Leanne, are very involved, as is her older sister, Lena. They are a musical family who participate in choir and the theater. Arianne displays her pride in her UU and musical roots as she sports the coolest chalice around. These might be the first things one notices about Leanne. Arianne, but there is so much more to Arianne. During RE classes, Arianne often had a witty comment, interesting fact, or unusual observation. She added dimension to our group and spurred discussions, often making us laugh or bring it back to the Beatles. Her mind is always working, putting ideas together, or rethinking concepts. She loves puzzles, playing with words, and figuring things out. She also loves people and animals. She values the time she spends with her family. Arianne is kind, always thinking of others. She belongs to groups at school, the tennis team, the tech crew, fencing, and her friends, and I'm glad to include Arianne as one of my friends.
The opposite of a correct statement is a false statement. But the opposite of a profound truth may well be another profound truth. Niels Bohr. I have absolutely no clue what he was trying to say about that. But I believe he was talking about quantum physics, but, you know, seemed appropriate here too. Everyone is different and has different beliefs, but none of them are wrong. I have a very logical and deductive mind. This sometimes makes it hard for me to understand when people try and explain their beliefs to me. That doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means that I believe differently. I believe in evolution, I believe in the laws of physics, or at least I have faith in the scientists who say they exist. I believe that humankind is alone, that we have to be the ones to decide our own fate. This is why it makes me so upset when I see the horrendous things that people have done to each other. I'm sure I don't have to give you any examples. How many horrible stories have you heard on the news or read in the papers, examples of the violence that people can display? But one of the most spiritual moments I have had during this amazing coming-of-age process wasn't the trip to Boston It wasn't sitting in a service, not even the YSOP trip. It was fulfilling our service participation requirement. I chose to do greeting, and having everyone stop and say hi, ask about school and family, and be so welcoming and happy, even if that wasn't what they were feeling at the time. That's what makes this congregation so special to me, and why I feel so at home here. It's not the building or the sermons or the music for me. It's just the people. So I don't think we need anyone else. As long as there are people who will take just a little bit of time out of their day to make someone else feel good. And this is my faith. Whenever I see people doing things like that, it makes my faith stronger. Just my faith in us. Thank you.
Good morning. I feel like we're witnesses to the birth of the Coming of Age band. Maybe we'll hear them play again in the future. So imagine being a young teenager on a really bitterly cold Sunday morning, getting up in the dark, coming to church, and your parents didn't make you do it. You came all on your own. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Kristin Lowe, who has come to the U on her own for so many years and has been a part of the fabric of our Sunday mornings. I first met Kristin a couple of years ago when she was a student in mine and others' seventh grade OWL sexuality class. And for the last 2 years, I've gotten to know a young woman who is very independent, very conscientious and caring, very inquisitive. Kristin plays more musical instruments than the New York Philharmonic, and probably better. And as my mother would say, she's never backwards in coming forwards. Kristin reminds me so much of the Peter Mayer song, Blue Boat Home. She throws questions into the deep, and she figures out so many different answers, all of which are true and from her heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Kristin Yuen Lowe.
Growing up, I never experienced a religious faith and was very confused about what religion meant. I will never forget for neighboring faiths. It was an amazing experience where I got to understand different people and their different religions. From learning about different religions and meeting many different people, I've learned that religion and spirituality is a beautiful thing. I think being a Unitarian Universalist means to be able to create and refine our own beliefs. It means to be accepting of everyone and their beliefs. When I think of Unitarian Universalism, I think of religious and spiritual independence. Everyone has a voice. We can learn and search for our own truth, and that everyone and their beliefs are important in their own way. I have gained many things from the Coming of Age program. I have gained the feeling of independence and that I can make my own spiritual decisions and conclusions by myself. Oh God. I've gained the knowledge that you don't have to be the same person forever. You can change yourself after time, after you've learned and lived through certain stages in life. I believe in karma, that what comes around goes around, and this has made me aspire to treat others with the same respect and kindness I would expect from anyone else. Also, I believe that suffering has causes and solutions. I believe that my aspiration in life is to reach enlightenment, that my life will be complete if I'm satisfied with what I am, who I am, what my life is. I believe that our lives are driven by hope and our aspirations. I do not believe in gods or goddesses, or that practicing religion or praying to a powerful figure will make my life any better. I believe in myself.
Hi, I'm Shannon Gattens. It's safe to say that Zach and I did not have the traditional mentor-mentee relationship. With a slew of personal issues and schedule conflicts, we struggled to find time to fulfill the requirements and develop a personal relationship. In the end, though, Zach's commitment to the process was surprising but wonderful. He juggled school and a vigorous crew schedule with COA interviews, meetings with Judy and Charlie, and of course, meetings with me. Our relationship continues to be unusual. We're looking forward to playing Just Dance soon. And He was not able to come because of his cruise schedule, but I'm super, super proud of Zach and happy to introduce him, Zach Schumann.
When I was young, I went to RU for religious education because my father wouldn't. But since then, I haven't been to like. Now, I come because I want to. I grew to like the people in class, and I've gotten to know the teachers pretty well. Now that I've known them for a while, it's nice to see them, even if it is only once a week. The coming of age program is much more rigorous than the other RU programs. It made me realize that I never thought about my beliefs seriously before. Sure, I knew some things I didn't believe in, but those are all my clear statements about. So I started thinking, what does it mean to me to be alive? What happens every day that makes me want to keep living? I was surprised to find that those answers came in the form of simple things. Talking with my friends, exercising, and reading my favorite books all made me happy. But what do those activities have to do with Unitarian Universalism? Over the years, the Unitarian Universalist Congregation I'm off there has become a really big part of my life. I have been going to RU since almost as long as I can remember, and it has taught me many things. But the most important thing I learned from our RU is what it means to be me, to be an individual, to make my own decisions about my life and my spirituality. To me, being a religious person means upholding my values. When I was in seventh grade, I started volunteering for Mensch. In the beginning, I volunteered so I could get the 25 hours of community service required for membership of the National Junior Honor Society. But then, I began to feel differently. I started coming because I let them know that I was doing something for my community. I believe it is important we treat everybody well, because we don't know what circumstances got them into this point, into that point in life. I am actually how I would want people to treat me if I was in this situation, and then try to apply that to others. I think that if more people uphold the values of equality and fairness for everybody, the world would be a better place. The UU has helped me discover important values that I have, and I will always cherish this place and the people in it, both of me along this journey.
Good morning. My name is Lou Dodge. I'm in here to introduce Daniel Chadwick. I'll wait just a minute. Daniel's a very talented young man. He began playing the trumpet in the fourth grade, has been a member of the Montclair High School Marching Band ever since. He also plays the guitar, the bass, and he dabbles in drums. Along with the other members of this coming of age class, you've heard the talent that they have. Some of you even disobeyed the no clap rule, I happen to notice that. Daniel's interested in studying film as well. He has a very inquisitive and curious mind, which will help him find success in whatever he chooses to do. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Daniel Chadwick.
Hi. In my brief life, I have probably spent more time thinking about my favorite movies and music than I have religion. Quite frankly, probing the mysteries of Scripture never seemed as important to me as getting a good spot in line for the opening weekend of The Dark Knight Rises. Similarly, the question of whether God exists hasn't seemed as important to me as the question of what happened in the next episode of The Walking Dead. On the surface, I suppose this may seem like typical American consumerism, passively watching programs and media content instead of wrestling with life's big questions. But as I get older, I've come to realize that it's through songs and movies of my youth that I've begun to develop my own sense of faith and values. For me, it's not the violence or the action that makes movies like The Dark Knight or Iron Man so compelling. It's the characters and their conflicts that draw me in. I'm most interested in Tony Stark, who as Iron Man has to wrestle with his pride and hubris. A lot of the villains he has to fight as Iron Man became evil after they were treated badly by him. As one of the Iron Man movies states, we create our own demons. Similarly, in The Walking Dead, it's not the blood or gore that makes me tune in week after week. It's watching these characters and seeing what happens to them. I also like seeing the decisions they make to dis- to survive in a savage world. Thinking about all this, it hits home to me how much UU values fit my life. It's well known that UU is a faith built from diverse sources, and that a typical UU congregation has Jews, Christians, atheists, agnostics, just to name a few groups. But what I find particularly appealing is how the UU tradition encourages seeking for me. Being a UUer means realizing that everyone's spiritual path is uniquely personal. In fact, UU's fourth principle is a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Here's a reflection on the principle I found on the UUA website that I think is particularly relevant. As responsible religious seekers, we recognize that we are privileged to be free, to have resources, to pursue life beyond mere survival, to continually search for truth and meaning. When I grow up, perhaps there will come a day when I'll find other things in life to obsess on rather than movies and music. I kind of hope not. But if that is the case, I know my UU background will have equipped me well to seek out and find sources of inspiration and to develop a new meaning in life. I'd like to leave you with a quote by a song I like a lot called Float On by Modest Mouse. Don't worry, even if things end up a bit too heavy, because we will all float on all right. Thank you.
In a service a few weeks ago, Charlie read the Thoreau quote, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately." And I thought of Emily, who at 15 is already living in a deliberate manner. Her sense of connection and concern for the world she lives in has led to an interest in sustainable agriculture. Emily became a vegetarian in sixth grade, and given her values, more recently made the commitment to veganism. Her lovely fashion sense is spiced with secondhand finds that express her playfulness and allow her to recycle at the same time. Emily has a deep respect for others that clearly has been nurtured by her loving family. Emily is the treasured daughter of Kelly Roberts and Douglas Roberts and the younger sister to Andrew. She came to the UU in fifth grade, and when her mother joined the congregation, and elected to attend services rather than join RE classes until entering this coming of age class, which she has embraced. Dedicated student, nuanced thinker, creative musician, lovely human being, may I present Emily Roberts.
The Unitarian Universalist congregation at Montclair has become my home throughout this past year. Coming of age has taught me to trust in others when I have no reason to. It has forced me to navigate complex topics and transfer my thoughts into words, and it has shown me what it feels like to be part of a community where everyone is accepted and embraced. Going into the city overnight with YSOP was one of the most profound experiences of my life. An extremely vivid moment for me was being tossed side to side by the subway while the events of the day settled into my heart. It left me feeling heavy and inspired all at once, like there was a fire inside my chest. It gave me an intense sense of connection to the world around me, both as a human being and as a spiritual being. I believe that we are all here on Earth so our souls can be grounded. The energies within us needed to experience physicality and came here to be condensed into a potent and alive being. We're spiritual creatures, and right now we're humans. That is something we all share. I believe that to be beautiful. We all have the flame within our chest, whether it currently feels like embers or a bonfire. Let the chalice always remind us of this fact, and let this fact always lead us to a sense of connection. As the great mystic Rumi once wrote, "There is a sun within every person, the you we call companion."
Good morning. I'd like to introduce Sam Schumann. For those of you who may not have met, or may not have had the pleasure of meeting Sam before today, you have been missing out. Working with him has been a real joy, an experience that is a great reward for being a mentor. He is at a special moment in life, that time of new beginnings, and the prospect of infinite possibility before him, like a brand new notebook. Our conversations have demonstrated that he is ready for it. For those of you who do know him already, I'm sure you will agree we can expect great things from him, but no pressure, Sam. May the fourth be with you.
Thank you.
This silence is deafening. What do I believe? I believe starting an essay with "I believe" is a pretty bad way to start an essay, but I've been looking for a way to stick it to my English teacher all year, and this is probably my best chance. I also believe that grass is green, the sky is blue, and I'm the best-looking person in this room. In other words, I believe that things that can be seen improved. Obviously, thank you. Obviously, this means I don't believe in a god or true higher power, except for Clapton. This is my stance going into the coming-of-age program, and this is my stance coming out. However, this doesn't mean I haven't gotten a lot out of this program, and I'm mainly talking about bagels here, but it's been good in other ways, too. This program has made me think about what it means to be a UU. For me, being a Unitarian Universalist means acknowledging it's okay not to have all the answers. Instead of believing that the mysteries of the universe can be explained away by attributing everything to an omnipotent being, we believe in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We can choose to believe in a traditional god, or a magical lawn chair, or we can believe in no higher power at all. The great thing about the UU is that all these beliefs are accepted. I think most of us come to the UU not to worship God, but for spiritual fulfillment. We find this through our worship services. We can find it in nature. We can find it in the people and community here. Or we can kind of tune out during the service and just go to coffee hour. What's cool about the UU is that all these things are okay as long as you at least act interested. The idea of this program was to help us determine and articulate our beliefs. Through discussions with my friends, conversations with my mentor, Ted, and many long nights spent watching reruns of sitcoms, I've more or less figured out what I believe in. My personal beliefs are pretty simple. I believe we exist through a fortunate coincidence, we have a few years to live, and at 30 or 40 we die, at least on the inside. There's no grand power governing our lives. Of course, there's no way to truly disprove some form of, higher power. But as much as it pains me to admit that not everything's about me, I doubt it's very interested in any of us. Lost my place. In the time we have here, we can choose to be righteous, cool, and stuck in the 80s. Or we can be jerks, or worse things I'm probably not allowed to say up here. I think that in lieu of religion, the best way to lead a fulfilling life is to be as good a person as we possibly can. We should set a bit of time apart for reflection and focus on being kind and generous people. Now, before I finish my credo and go back there and you forget about me, let me ask you the question. If a UU is explaining their beliefs in the forest, and no one's around to hear him, will there still be an argument? Thank you.
Hi. Working with Eric Stoloff has been a thoughtful and enjoyable journey exploring both science and spiritualism. Eric strives to balance strong family ties, athletics, music, and academics. He is pursuing an academic path tied to his interest in science, particularly his interest in living things. Like many Unitarian teens, the balancing sometimes becomes a juggling task. Eric's sense of humor helps keep a little bit of perspective. When I asked him why he took up the saxophone in addition to the piano, he deadpanned, "I couldn't really play the piano in the marching band." So it's with great pleasure I introduce Eric Stoloff.
An anonymous person once said that to discover what we truly believe, we must first find out who we are as an individual. I have thought a lot about this statement while writing my credo and realized that one of the most prominent things about me is that I always try to be a fair and reasonable person. This has led to my belief that everyone, both people and animals alike, deserves many chances to make their lives better. It is also why I can't watch ASPCA or UNICEF commercials where they show people and animals that can do nothing to better their situation. Another belief I have is what goes around comes around, which is the golden rule. This belief is a part of who I am because of my grandmother, who always used to say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This belief extends to my love of nature because changing one thing could kill off an entire species. If you hurt something in nature, the effects will hurt you. This also connects to everyone getting what they deserve. Nature and Earth's natural beauty is very important to me and contributes to my belief in the Golden Rule. Opposites are a large part of how I see the world because nothing stands out unless you contrast it with something different. I believe that to see the good of people, you have to see the bad or vice versa because the difference between them defines what they are. However, this is not true for science and faith. They are just different ways of answering our greatest questions and making sense of the unknown. During the COA program, I was asked the question of what I thought of other people's beliefs. It took me a while to find the answer, but I realized that if someone believes in something, it is real for them, even if I don't personally believe in it. I believe this because people can do great things thinking that something helped them, and even if I don't believe in that, it still helped them accomplish something and is real. This helps me look at someone else's belief from a new perspective. In addition, what will I do with my beliefs and what do I contribute to the world? I'll act on my beliefs about fairness by helping people that are less fortunate than me. I will also always be conscious of what I do to the environment and never do anything to harm it. I also believe in change. In 10 years, what I believe now may be totally different than what I believe now. I accept this and will welcome change when it comes. Thank you.
It is my pleasure and privilege to introduce you to Grace Anna Douglas. Her name, which sounds so very delicate, belies the fact that she is a hardcore athlete. She's been swimming competitively for 8 years. Have I mentioned she's only 15? In addition to the two different swim teams she competes for, she catches her school bus at 6 a.m., which means she works as hard as she plays. She also knows her own mind. Over the course of this process, Grace Anna has been challenged with questions about what she thinks, what she believes, what she wants. Throughout it all, she's been thoughtful and insightful and very funny. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you Grace Anna Douglas.
Success is the prize for those who stand true to their ideas. This was said by John S. Hines. I believe in this statement. I believe there is more than one way to go throughout life. I believe in everyone's own journey and how one person should not be able to be in charge of someone else's adventure. Respecting the viewpoints of each other is a hallmark of Unitarian Universalism for a good reason. These are simple words, but I believe they are words to live by. My own way is through love, family, fun times, and also quiet times. I believe you can feel peace and that feeling of warmth you get when you're happy and satisfied just by sitting and being in and with nature. Me, I don't believe in a god or goddess. I believe people should be kind and caring because they know it's right. I believe that everyone should be able to walk their own way through life. We are not alone in this world, is something I also believe. We are not alone on this earth and we should start acting like it. I believe we should come together to protect our world, not fight against one another. I'm a person who believes in science. I trust the scientists and what their studies say. I also one day would like to come up with my own theories and prove them to others. But I also know that my beliefs are just what they sound like, my beliefs. They are unique to me and can't and shouldn't be forced on anyone else. There are times when we all think that we're the only person who is right, but I believe that everyone should get a say in what they want to believe in and what they want to fight for. I leave you with this quote from a mid-20th century Unitarian preacher, Essen Hayden, who wrote, "What the gods have been expected to do and have failed to do throughout the ages, people must find the courage and intelligence to do for themselves. And finally, be the change you want to see in the world." Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dennis Curdy, and I'm going to introduce you to Anna Kanigeiser. It's been a pleasure to work with Anna. She's from a wonderful family, yet she functions as her own person. She can be shy, but she'll always take the lead. She's always prepared, but she can be incredibly spontaneous. I've seen her take care of our children. I've seen her treat our senior members with respect. She loves math and science. She loves to travel. She can stand toe-to-toe with her brother Henry. And finally, I think I feel so secure in having worked with Anna. It's expanded my view of so many things, and it gives me such confidence in what our coming of ages will do in leadership positions, whatever she elects to do. It's been an absolute pleasure to work with her. Thank you. I give you Anna Kanagizer. Good luck.
When I was younger, my brother and I fought a lot. We would find anything possible to fight about, so we hardly ever fought about anything important, and often about who is right, better, or basically anything that we could find two sides to. Ultimately, I think I became a bit of a skeptic. Now I often feel I have to see something for it to be true. I believe in science. I believe in what I can see and what can be tested to be true. Science is defined as a branch of knowledge or study of facts systematically arranged and showing the operation of general laws. To me, that is kind of the basis of religion, finding or studying truths and what laws govern our life. The difference to me is that religion is used to answer questions that cannot be answered by science or found using the scientific method. Instead, the laws that people determine are based on what they believe to be true from their experiences. I also believe in the importance of happiness, the feeling of joy and youthfulness. I believe it is one thing that we all strive for. It's not like you write on your bucket list, "I want to be happy," but that all the other things you do in your life and all the choices you make are influenced by wanting to feel this way. These choices can be small, like, "I want to listen to this new band I found," or they can be major life choices. I believe that happiness is a guiding feeling in my life, whether it be that I choose to cook dinner one night, call a good friend, or actually make a decision that will significantly impact my life. I choose the option that I think will make me happier. To bring science back into the picture, I believe happiness is a feeling we get from our bodies and chemicals released. I believe it is part of our survival instinct that we feel happy. Being the complex creatures that we are, we can experience a feeling like happiness. I believe in living to experience and to live life to the fullest. I believe in taking risks and, again, doing things that make you happy, even if they are not always what you should be doing. I believe I can spend my entire life trying to find answers to questions about how to live my life and forget to actually live it. To me, it is most important to enjoy your life, not only to have been there. As Tracy Jordan on 30 Rock said, live every week like it's Shark Week.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Ramsey, and I have a word for you. It's dapper. It's one of those things, right? The connotations are sharp and courageous, and there's this kind of intelligence that when you think of dapper. I actually have to change my outfit several times today, trying to at least be able to be eye candy for Hank when I got up here. And that's the kind of thing you get with Hank. In the conversations that we've had over the last year, the intelligence that he brings to things is really remarkable. He can go toe-to-toe with ideas, but I've never found him to be overbearing, always inquisitive. But you may think otherwise. You may think he knows what he's doing. And he may even think he knows what he's doing. But I think secretly he knows, as we all know, the questions are still there, and the questions are even grander the more you find answers. So that's what I know of Hank.
I fought to not start out with a quote, but here goes. Chadwick is love. Chadwick is life. Daniel Chadwick. Spirituality is defined by what we feel. It is not defined by what religion or group of people believe. Spirituality is solely and only defined by what we as individuals feel and express. Simply saying that you are a Christian, Protestant, Jewish, Islamic explains nothing referring to spirituality. It is what guides us to the idea of theology, religion, and credos. This is where we find ourselves. It's here that we investigate the idea of spirituality with coming of age. And above all other questions that are proposed to us in the class, the most prominent is this. What does spirituality mean to you? How am I supposed to know that? Here's a great idea. Let's stick 10 teenage boys and girls in a classroom and throw deep, sentimental, theological questions at them. The coming-of-age program, for me at least, was never about the programs or the lessons. It was always about the people and the relationship that can be made. These other less good-looking people than I are all people that I truly love. And I think all of my peers will agree with me that it was this and the relationships that helped them find their spirituality more than anything. But now the big question, the grand finale, what I believe. I have no idea. This is crazy, isn't it? I don't know how they do it. All these people have these incredible concepts of God and theologies and other big things in the sky, but I simply can't, like, I cannot believe. But put most simply, the alternative to a God is just much easier for me to believe. And it is that alternative that I do believe. My alternative, which the concept of a higher power may work for any other person, but not for me. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Eileen Delahunty, and coming-of-age candidate Adonna Hilton and her family are very recent members of the UUCM. Just a few months ago, they took part in a new member service here at the UU. Adonna has been a quick study in the values of Unitarian Universalism. She's been working really hard to meet all of her deadlines in a short time. Her name, Adonna, comes from Nigeria and means her father's daughter. This is a lovely tribute to the oldest child and the only girl in the Hilton family. She's also a wonderful big sister to her two brothers, Zuri and Osazi. And like my family, the Hiltons moved to New Jersey just a few years ago from Brooklyn, seeking better schools and more space. Donna still misses the city, but enjoys her Montclair home and her new dog. The Hilton family home is full of music. Her dad is a musician and teacher, and her mom holds concerts in the family home. Adonna has found her own creative outlets in the fine arts, and you can see a sample of her handiwork here on the brochure. I asked Adonna if she could change anything in the world, what would it be? And she said the words perfect and normal wouldn't exist. And it's a wise statement from a young woman who is finding her way in a culture of conformity. Adonna calls herself a unicorn, special and rare. I present to you a very special and rare Adonna Hilton.
I believe in balance. The perfect example of what the world should be like is the yin-yang symbol. Sometimes people picture a perfect world with no problems or mistakes. A world like that sounds like torture. We need problems to solve and mistakes to learn from. Less problems are what this world is working towards, not totally wiping the world of its issues. When I think of all the problems in the world, it makes me sick that I'm not doing anything about it. The community service requirements for coming of age has really helped me with that. My favorite is volunteering at nursing homes. I feel like I'm making a difference. Not a big one like world peace or ending world hunger, but putting a smile on someone's face and making their day, slowly but surely changing the world. I believe that when a person dies, their spirit leaves their body. Their spirit goes somewhere to take a break, their own little paradise where it goes to forget the complications of life. It's reunited with others that have passed on. And after the spirit goes back to be reincarnated into a different person. If the spirit was unsettled at all when it died, its paradise is a little shorter so that when it goes back to earth, its unachieved dreams, goals, and true calling is still fresh in its mind. It goes back to live life until the spirit is truly happy and satisfied with its life when it dies. I believe that not everything happens for a reason. Sometimes things just happen. There is, however, always something to gain and something to lose from every situation. But life is unpredictable, so you have to be grateful for what you have while it's still there. When my grandmother died, I completely deleted her from my memory. I stopped thinking about her so that the pain would go away. But remembering brings back good memories, too. Like stepping on her toes or telling me to shut up so she could walk her Texas Ranger. Yes, those were good memories. Not at the time, but thinking about them makes me feel like she's still with me. I believe good relationships are really important and that you should surround yourself with people that love and care about you.
My name is David Hanley, and I'm here to introduce Mike Nolte. For all of us, as we start down life's path, it's almost never a straight line. There are straight parts, but there are curves, peaks, and valleys. With help, we navigate this path, make what we hope are the right decisions when we come to the forks in the road, and try to build our character based on what we see in the people we admire. As Mike goes down his path, he is taking in the lessons he's been shown, and he's taking those steps to make happen, to formulate answers to the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Part of answering that question for him is his participation in a program like this one, and writing a credo. In his way, in his own way, he would tell you what that credo is. I give you Mike Nolte.
Good morning. Before I start, I'd like to thank Dave, Judy, and everyone else who helped me through this process. Thank you so much. I've begun to realize that the more I think about what I believe in, the less I know. I've never been a person who stays stationary. To be completely honest, I'm a flip-flopper. I always switch my opinions. Whether it's in sports, politics, or daily high school stuff, I'm always switching sides. This is because I like to experience everything. I don't believe anyone knows the real opinion until they view every perspective. So writing about my beliefs was quite a task for me. I didn't grow up Catholic, but I'm part of a mainly Catholic family. I became a Unitarian Universalist when I was 6. Because of that, my view of God swung from real to imaginary. As I've grown, however, my opinion has changed. I've been a stern atheist and an accepting agnostic. I went from wanting to believe in anything to not caring about the littlest thing. Finally, I think I have come to the perfect ultimatum. I've decided not to argue about the existence of God in any perspective. Who am I to decide? This is something human beings have pondered over for as long as anyone can think of. No matter how many times I change my opinion, I will still be unsure. The question of God's existence is a question that will probably never be answered, so why worry about it? Go out, enjoy yourself, do something crazy. Don't worry about what's next. Life is short, and we can't get caught up thinking about what may come after. This is what I believe. Thank you.
So for the Right Hand of Fellowship, I would like to invite all of the coming-of-agers to come forward and be over here together. By way of introduction of the Right Hand of Fellowship, for those of you who might not be familiar with it, the Right Hand of Fellowship is an age-old tradition within Unitarianism on that side of our family. And the Right Hand of Fellowship is a way that the ministers, having been ordained by congregations, would welcome one another to the work of ministry. And so it's in that spirit that I offer these words, and in that spirit that I share these thoughts with you. Earlier this morning, Sam Schumann suggested that the importance of this entire ceremony is that here the beliefs of our coming-of-agers as well as all of our people are accepted by others. And the reason, I would add, the reason that your beliefs are accepted here is because they are a part of you. And in accepting your beliefs, we are accepting you. And so when you say to us, this is what I believe, we embrace you as we embrace what you believe. And that's what that's about. And it's important even further than just what you believe as to how what you believe encourages you and calls you to act in the world. I had the great opportunity this past Wednesday in the middle of the rainstorms to go into the city of New York. I was invited to an event at the United Nations where religious leaders from all over the world gathered to talk about nuclear disarmament. And what I witnessed there as I listened to the different speakers from the different parts of the world and from different religions was that it did not matter that the people sitting at that dais had different beliefs. What mattered was that they were bringing their beliefs together in a way that made a difference in the world. And we all have our spiritual paths that we're on, and you have brought your spiritual paths to this congregation, as have your parents and the others who are here. Why is that? Because because while our spiritual paths are incredibly important to us, if we want to respond to the needs of the world in meaningful ways, we need to bind together with others. And so the right hand of fellowship that I offer to you this morning is welcome to the work of this congregation. Welcome to the work of the world. Welcome to the beginning of your adult life. And this is a commencement. This is not a finale. So I welcome you, and Judy Tomlinson and I will welcome you with the right hand of fellowship.
We continue to grow and learn through all of our lives. I hope we never finish learning about our beliefs, that we keep evolving. Learning with open minds leads us to love with open hearts.